Now, we're going to talk about Olympic-related issues, but the business of it, the branding, the money. We've got Rossa McDermott from Optimum Sports Management with us, and also Michael O'Keefe, the MD of Pembroke Communications with us. Now, there's loads of things to talk about here. I'm very interested, though, this idea that some of the American athletes are revolting against some of the things that they've been told to do, Rossa. Can you tell us a little bit about the possibility of a so-called barefoot protest?
Good afternoon, Matt. This has arisen as I guess the cold sponsorship deal with Nike, for example, and Nike have a blanket deal with a lot of the basketball players. They also have a podium plan where the medal winners will be getting first, second and third. They have a clothing plan for apparel and shoes. And it goes back to 1992 when Michael Jordan was sponsored by Nike and Reebok were the team sponsor. When they won their gold medal, they actually covered their Reebok badge because they were so loyal to Nike. So you've got the same thing reoccurring now where there are individual interests and the team thing, which is overriding, causes some friction.
So what is this, though, Michael? It's been, I think, Adam Nelson, who's a former world shot put champion, two-time Olympic silver medalist, who isn't going to the Games, has started this Souls for Soul protest.
Yeah, another kind of hashtag for the IOC to watch out for. Again, it comes back to this whole kind of guerrilla marketing and the whole thing around the massive revenues associated with the Olympics. His particular protest is around wearing or refusing to wear Nike shoes because Nike are the official sponsor of the US team. But funny enough, Adidas are the official sponsor of the Olympics. So this, there's massive confusion around, you know, the top partners versus the local sponsors. And then
the top partners being?
Well, I just explain that quickly. The Olympic revenue or the Olympic movement revenue is worth about $5 billion every 4 years, of which about $3.9 billion comes from broadcasting rights and then about $1 billion comes from sponsorship and what's known as the top partners, which is the official partnership. So they raise about $1 billion in revenue for the Olympic movement. So as you can imagine, they rapidly protect their revenue stream there. So any sniff of ambush marketing, guerrilla marketing, they try and wipe it out, and I suppose rightfully so.
So Adidas, are they the sponsors when it comes to kit and footwear?
Yes, they are the official sponsor of London 2012. However, the American team, who would be the most high profile Olympic track and field team, are actually sponsored by Nike. So they would wear Nike clothing. The Irish team are sponsored by Asics and so forth.
But are they allowed to wear that kit going onto the podium to take medals, or do they have to change into Adidas gear?
No, the Irish athletes are allowed to wear their Asics gear. However, it gets slightly complicated with the American instance where some of them would be sponsored by Adidas for their shoes. So they'd be wearing Adidas shoes while wearing the Nike kit. Some of the Irish athletes like Paul Heshin or these people have individual Nike or Adidas contracts as well. So there's going to be a whole myriad of different brands, sports brands, battling for space. And even down to, you know, talking about ambush marketing, I remember Linford Christie, I think it was in 96, had contact lenses with the Puma logo in them. So people will go to all sorts of extents to get around
I'm trying to remember Ross, and John Duggan has stayed with us, he might have some memories of this as well. Isn't that where Sonia Sullivan got into a lot of controversy?
Yeah, if you go back to the controversy at that stage, she had a sponsor which was different to the Irish team sponsor and ended up changing her clothing in the tunnel. It was very conflictive.
And it was very upsetting for her. This
very
is upsetting the time she was a medal contender in Atlanta in 96.
But as Michael says, that is the problem here. There are overlapping commercial interests, an individual local city, because Seb Lord Coe has got seven local London sponsors. Then there are the top line sponsors at worldwide level. And then the individuals have their own loyalties.
But was he joking when he told BBC Radio 4's Today programme that ticket holders might be turned away if they wore a T-shirt with non-official sponsor
branding? No, I was just going to say that he got himself into trouble as a result of that confusion. And I think the retrenchment was that he said there was confusion, that he misunderstood it, that the staff would have to do that. But as Michael will tell you, the blanketing of the stadium is so stringent that it's not beyond
and it goes back to South Africa 2 years ago and the Bavaria girls arriving in their big orange dresses, and that totally took away from Budweiser. And actually post games, when there was research done, a lot of people thought Bavaria were the official drink of the World Cup, and they actually weren't. But I know you're a big man on Twitter, and I think the whole Twitter social media revolution is a complete game changer here, and this is the first social media Olympics, so to speak. And I've seen
it went down this evening for an hour. I was freaking out. Wanted to know what's going on with Joe Ward, because you get it on Twitter first nowadays.
I bet you there's one Greek athlete who probably wishes Twitter had gone down when she actually made her racist comments, which got her thrown out of the Olympics.